Gracious, ever-living God, ever-loving God, be here with each of us now, who like the disciples are behind closed doors, fearful of what is to come, fearful of the virus and our future in a world forever changed. Help us to receive the Easter message on this second Sunday of Easter of hope and new life. Strengthen our faith. Reaffirm our belief. Amen. What do you need to believe? What gives your faith strength? To what are you a witness? A lot of political debate and blaming is rattling around on our news feeds, and a lot of it has to do with belief. Who believed what, when, based on what, and why wasn't it believed sooner? Belief is complicated. What do you need to believe? There are those with advanced degrees, training, and expertise who know all the factors that go into assessing things and how patterns can be detected with algorithms created based on numbers and things we can't see, and they can project things into the future based on computer models and things that I don't understand. But they believe in the data, and they believe in what that data can reveal, even though there is always a margin of error. And some people who don't have that training trust those experts and believe what is being explained, even if the results aren't always perfect. There are others who rely on their common sense and their experience in the world. They wait for hard evidence that can be seen and understood, numbers that are real and not projected, evidence that is close to home and relates specifically to the present time and place. And past experience has shown them that relying on common sense has proved right, true, prudent, and sensible. And so belief comes slowly, measured over time. And some, often artists, believe from a knowing they can't always explain. They have strong impulses and intuitions about larger forces at work, about cosmic truths and implications, and that knowing forms their beliefs. Belief is complicated. Too often in religion, we add a different complication, which is a fear of admitting doubt. Doubt somehow equals weakness. Say you believe and you're in, dare to doubt and you're out. And even though for us, as Episcopalians, doubt and questions are welcome, there is still a fear, a reluctance to admit doubt. And so I give thanks for Thomas the twin, who refuses to believe in the resurrection until he can stick his fingers in the wounds of Jesus, the Jesus whom he watched die, the Jesus he has loved, the Jesus whose visit he missed, the Jesus for whom he mourns. And Jesus knows that Thomas needs that to believe. And so he returns to the upper room a week later for Thomas to remove his doubt. And then Jesus speaks to us over the centuries. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Have come to believe. That's important. He knows it will be hard and that it will take time. What do you need to believe? What gives your faith strength? What anchors your faith? In the movie Risen, based on a true story, an investigative reporter is furious about his wife's sudden turn to Jesus. and he sets out to prove that the resurrection is an illusion and a hoax. He investigates. He consults many well-respected experts all over the world. Maybe Jesus didn't really die. How do we know really anything? And what is the evidence? He comes back shaken to his core. The actual evidence is overwhelming, validated by these experts. Jesus actually did die, rose from the dead, was seen by over 500 witnesses. He believes. Peter, in today's reading from Acts, his first public speech that we are aware of, shouts to the crowd, "This Jesus, God raised up, and of that, all of us are witnesses." And they have seen with their own eyes, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and Jesus was raised from the dead. God's power transforms what common sense tells us is not possible. Who has influenced you? What testimonies have you seen or heard? Who's inspired you? Who has helped you believe? My senior year in high school began with some fear and trembling by walking into Mr. Fred Holtby's advanced English class. On most of our first papers, he drew a red line after the first or maybe second sentence, refusing to read the rest because our opening sentences were vague and boring. And we each struggled to get him to read further down the page with each paper that we wrote. Class time, however, was spent wrestling with philosophical and ethical ideas. He was pushing us to think. He was raising the bar for us to write thoughtfully and well, and we were not to waste his time with fluff. My school was extremely secular. No one from my school went to my church. In fact, few went to religious services of any kind. And I was dumbstruck when I learned that Mr. Holtby was a practicing Catholic and went to Mass every day. How could this be? How could he bear to sit through mediocre sermons? How could he get on his knees and pray to Jesus? I would stare at him in class, struggling with what I thought then was a contradiction between this man's exacting intelligence and his deep faith. His influence on my ability to believe was profound, and I'm sure he never knew. If he believed, if he could say those prayers with integrity, if he could get something out of mediocre sermons, then maybe the stirrings in my heart were not foolish or imaginary. Testimony matters, spoken or unspoken by example, and God uses it beyond what we can know. Today's reading celebrate testimony. Jesus' body is testimony for Thomas. Peter raised his voice and testified to what they all saw and heard. Jesus is alive. And in John's gospel, John explains that these things have been written down so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. At this moment in time, in the midst of this serious pandemic, what do we see? What will be our testimony? And in the midst of such suffering and loss, we have seen extraordinary love, such extraordinary giving and self-sacrifice, from paying the rent for strangers, to the teddy bears for comfort in the windows, to the parades of tribute to health workers, and on and on and on. Jesus is alive in the world, challenging old systems and creating new ones. I see an explosion of love, a love that has burst out of its littleness because it was too small and too self-centered and had dulled and blunted the spirit. We are part of a groundswell across all the nations. Love knows no borders. God has infused the human heart with a new energy that has nothing to do with religion and all to do with love. This second Sunday of Easter, this second week of the joyous season of Easter, we have been given the grace to see beyond our walls, through our screens, via our headsets and phones, the glory of the risen, living Jesus visibly alive in the world, as never before in recent memory. And we are witnesses. We know. We believe. We and the church are to move forward in this swell of love. In the gospel, Jesus says twice, "Peace be with you." But he does not say, "Now go home and relax." He says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We are given new life. Oh, how I would have loved to have been in that room, to have been with the physical presence and to have Christ breathe on my face. Imagining that gives my faith strength, deepens my belief, gives me hope that we will move forward to join this explosion of love and to say with Thomas, "My God and my Lord, I believe." What gives your faith strength? What deepens your belief and gives you hope? What do you hope for? What will you witness to? In this Easter season, so different from any other we have known, let us pray in gratitude for the faith we have been given and reflect on what strengthens that faith and what gives us hope through our sufferings. Jesus is alive. I believe. Alleluia. Amen.